There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
Hi, I'm Jay. My hetero life is solid five.
It's like radio without a studio or an audience.
Beer.
Yes, it's a triumvirate of excellence as never before experienced on computer.
This is the Unique Geek.
Hey, this is John, and, you know, you're listening to The Unique Geek. Rock on! No, that was my druggy rock star voice. Guys, I'm sick this week. I haven't been able to set up the audio for the music, so we're just going to get right into it this week. So, with me on the phone this week, and I'm going to leave most of the talking to these guys, which shouldn't be a problem. They're usually talking no matter what. Oh, I should say, this podcast brought to you by New Bards Press, newbardspress.com. Not really, but...
I was going to say, Sterling, are they sponsoring? Because I'm not seeing it. I haven't seen any greenbacks for that yet.
Sterling wanted us to pimp him, so... But speaking of pimping...
We could pimp Sterling easy.
Speaking of pimping...
Yeah, did he specify pimping him or pimping New Bards Press? Two different things.
Good point. But speaking of pimp, or I guess you're a hoe... Scott from needcoffee.com. Scott, how you doing?
What do you mean, ho? What are you calling a ho?
Besides,
you can't do that anymore.
What? Why?
Oh, you can't say ho, ho, ho.
Oh, I heard about that.
Exactly.
That's not really going to stick, is it?
What are you guys talking about? I'm completely lost.
Santa Claus is now being encouraged not to say ho, 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 because it might offend women. They're being encouraging Santa Claus to say ha ha ha. It's on the front of Yahoo.
You were gonna say Superman's being encouraged to say ha,
I. Ha. That's what started to come out of my mouth, but a lot of things come out of my mouth that shouldn't.
We're going.
Look at that! I set you up and knocked it out of the park. Well done. Yeah.
speaking of being set up, hey Shag, how you doing?
The irredeemable Shag is doing great. And we'd like to make a request that you possibly mute when you begin to gag to death on the phlegm.
Actually, I don't have a phlegm. That's part of the problem. It's like all dry and scratchy. And speaking of dry and scratchy, Ron, how you doing?
I'm doing very good. I've just paused the movie Commando that I am watching with Todd. It's like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Alyssa Milano and Ray Don Chong. It's a great movie if you haven't seen it in a long time.
Speaking of crappy imitations, Mike, Michael Bailey, how you doing?
I'm fine. Talking clearly, yes.
Jack, yes.
We're going to go ahead and, Ron has posted several topics out there to the chat that we have going here. Let's start with TV news. TV news. Hey, who wants to start us off with a topic there? We've got about a month's worth of stuff to catch up on, so everybody relax.
Well, we can talk about the Heroes creator apologizing on Entertainment Weekly.
Well, go on.
Tell us more.
Okay, I'm about to. In a recent, I don't know if it was actually in the magazine because I don't get the magazine, but online, Tim Kring, which is a very bizarre name, admits mistakes were made at the beginning of season 2 and actually lists them out in an apology to the fans. Now, I am not watching the show because I don't have a DVR and I am really crappy about remembering to tape them, but you guys are, so I was wondering if you agree with these. The first one is the pace is too slow.
I don't really know about that specifically. I might kind of jump around in your topics here or in your, you know, whatever list you had there. And we'll give a little spoiler alert for episodes up through the last one was the one that was entitled 4 months ago, I think it was entitled. So I guess we'll probably be talking.
That'd, That'd be through episode 8 for those of you who keep track.
Yeah, the one that was shown was this November 12th, I think it was. Anyway, there were some character things that I didn't really like. The Latino brother and sister, which they're actually being referred to as the Nikki and Paolo of the heroes, which is a reference to Lost, and so some characters that the creators of that show kind of apologized for.
I thought they were the Wonder Twins.
So they're kind of like that. They're the Wonder Twins. And I think the introduction of those characters and the character that's Micah's cousin in New Orleans, I think that it's always kind of slow because we went through in the first season introducing the new characters and, oh, I've got powers. I don't know. This is a new thing for me. You know, we've kind of gone past that. Now we're in the second season, and I like the way they, you know, pulled in Kristen Bell's character. I think that was a good way of just, you know, having it already be tied in and everything, and we don't need that initial, oh, here's a new person with their new powers thing, you know, that new discovery thing that we went through last season. So that was a little slow, but other than that, definitely enjoyed it this season. One of the things that he apologized for also was the keeping the Japan in the past story. He said that went along a little bit too far, or it took too long, and they could have condensed that up. So I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I think it was maybe a little bit, but it was still pretty good, and I'm enjoying this season. One thing that I didn't specifically like in about the last episode 4 months ago, which was kind of a flashback to like what happened right after the season finale, is in the promos they specifically said they were going to address what happened to Siler and why no one noticed that his body totally disappeared, and they specifically said they were going to cover that, and they did not.
So I was a little bit annoyed
by that, which I'll come up with a theory that the chick who can do illusions made it look like he was taken away in a purse or whatever, in an ambulance or something like that.
And, did you answer his question or no? I'm not quite clear on.
Well, the part I'm amazed is Ron started talking and then didn't take a breath until we just interrupted him. Finally, you know,
I'm feeling froggy tonight.
I was going to say, apparently it's the Ron cast, and
anybody else watching Heroes? Woo! It's Ron World, and we're all just part of it.
I'm current through episode 4, but I know some of the spoilers through 8. Having watched just 1 through 4, I totally agree with the stuff that the creator said. I think it is too slow. The romance with Claire was stupid. The stuff with Hero, it was like, you know what? You made your point. The guy's a slacker. He didn't want to fight. Okay, this could go a lot faster. So I agree. So, and I'm just picking on you, Ron. You're not really it's not really the Ron cast. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Okay. We just didn't want you to fall on the floor because you were like, you know, deprived of oxygen.
Good. Well, right. What was the next point, Mike?
Well, actually, it's worth mentioning. And Mike Bailey, I think, can speak on this more than me on the writer's strike. But that's actually, isn't that causing Heroes Origins to be delayed? Isn't that right, guys?
It was either delayed or just outright canceled,
I
thought.
It's put on hold right now, according to Kevin Smith.
Because
go ahead, Mike.
Well, the writer's strike is not only putting that on hold, but basically from what I've been reading, every new show of this season is kind of up in the air whether or not it's going to go, whether or not they're going to continue with them. One, I forget where it was. I apologize for not tagging it, but one place I read said that basically the networks were going to scrap all the new shows and start over next year if the strike is over.
I heard Heroes was going to go to 10 episodes, and that was it.
Yeah, and Smallville's ending in February as well. Basically, Heroes and Smallville.
So who cares? Shed a fucking tear on that one.
Yeah. Which? Haven't been watching that either, but no, apparently both Heroes and Heroes planned volume... Is this volume 2 or volume 3?
2.
Volume 2 to end at, you know, in the within the 11 episodes, and Smallville can either be like a good cliffhanger until like after sweeps or a good just season cliffhanger in general.
Okay, wait. Good?
Yeah, Smallville hasn't been good since like season two and a half. Says Rosetta, I think. No, some season three.
The thing is, I think what a lot of these networks are doing are they're looking at something called force majeure. And what they can do is they can say because of the strike. And
someone help him. He spoke French.
Okay. It's a clause that says, like, because of something really catastrophic happening, like a writer's strike, they can get out of any contract. Yeah. So if they have a show that they were supposed to do, like, 13 episodes of or a full season of, and it's not performing well, like, say, Journeyman. You know, a lot of people like it, but the ratings haven't been there. So they have the ability.
Has Journeyman's ratings been behind?
Yeah. Actually,
oh,
yeah.
It sucks. Best show of the season. But continue.
Oh, I know. But really? They have the option, if they want to get out of the contract because, you know, the writer's strike is shutting down production. And that's why they think a lot of that. That's what they think. Maybe that's one of the reasons why the studios have been so adamant about not negotiating.
Well, I think the other thing is I was listening to another podcast called Geek Out Online. And the host of that made a very good point that the one network that's not going to do anything is probably going to be Fox, because they got American Idol coming up and they can ride that gravy train for the next, you know, 4 or 5 months. So go ahead.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's the thing is like there, I mean, reality TV. One of the like dangers of it, I suppose, is it doesn't have to make huge ratings to be profitable, because it's such a low overhead. If it gets mediocre ratings, it can still make money. And that's, you know, that's probably one of the problems, is because, you know, they can do this stuff and, you know, people are unsatisfied, but they make money off this stuff. The studios are happy. They don't care. They're making money.
Did anybody see the video that basically broke down why the writers are striking?
Offhand, no. I didn't see specifically, but to my understanding, they're currently only getting paid like 4 cents per DVD, and they want it to be 8. And
well, what happened? Apparently, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Like with like you know, iTunes releases and stuff, and other future technology things that the contracts just don't cover those things.
Yeah, I thought the DVD was kind of off the table. Like they missed the boat on that one, so now it's really online content.
No, well, the main problem is that years ago the writers agreed to take a lower cut of home video sales to get home video sales going. Basically, the studios wanted to tap into that market, and the writers said, "Okay, we'll go from 8 cents to 4 cents." With the caveat that when the home video market took off, that the studios would reinstate the 8%, and they haven't. So that's one of the main things they're striking about.
Okay.
And one of the other problems is the studios keep saying that internet productions are all promotional and therefore don't count. But when you have commercials in them, they kind of do. But it's a mess. It's a mess. And the studios, the problem is most of the studios nowadays are connected to big multinationals. So they have more resources to draw on than in, what was it, 86, 88, the last big strike?
Yeah.
So
88, actually. And unfortunately, the only reason I remember that was it was the first season of the Superboy television series. Which is the only reason you got comic book writers working on the scripts that year, is because everyone else was on strike. It's also why Jack Napier killed Batman's parents in the Batman film as well.
It's kind of interesting. There's kind of a role reversal now, because we're seeing, and we'll talk about this later in comics, a lot of TV writers are now starting to write comic books. And part of the strike is they're all kind of like scrambling for work in comics.
Well, actually, I read a really good article on that on Comic Book Resources, but we'll get to that in the comics.
Comic book
in the comic book portion of the podcast.
If I may add my two cents real quick to the writer's strike, and it will have to be quick, so as long as my voice is working. The thing is that they have a contract that lasts 3 years. That's how they do it. They do a new contract every 3 years. 3 years ago, they did take the 4 cents on the DVD sale, but the reason why was because was it 3 or 6? I forget. But at the time, the DVDs were still kind of expensive. But what wound up happening was, when the DVD sales came down, they're taking a percentage the sale per DVD. It wound up being a lesser percentage because they lowered the cost from like $30 down to $10 or $5 at Walmart or whatnot. Plus, the thing is that all these writers, no one ever foresaw that somebody would go and purchase entire seasons of television shows, and, you know, pay that amount, paid it to have entire seasons of television shows. And since these are television show writers that are striking, this is all new territory for them. They just there wasn't a market for it when they started. Now, and the only reason why I'm on the writer side of this is because usually I'm not like a big union guy, but because this is a contract dispute more than it is anything, because they're really work for hire. They don't work for. It's the same as like a software developer. If an independent software developer sold you a product, and then all of a sudden you found a new way to use that product. The software developer should have the right to go back and say, look, it's not in our contract to be used that way. Or maybe it was, but it wasn't foreseen to be a problem and the contract has expired. You have to renew with a new license. Here's our terms for the new license if you want to keep using this. So, you know, if you want a new version, if you will. So in that sense, I'm actually not really horribly against them, other than the fact that they're blocking a lot of shows that I'd like to see finished. And on the Journeyman point, they'd only ordered 13 episodes anyway. All 13 are done, so the season will finish the way it was meant to. However, Heroes had like 22 episodes ordered, and they rushed to put in what they called a mid-season finale, which is 11 in the event that the writer strike happened, and of course it has. So now they're going to consider that now volume 2, and then when they come back from the writer strike, volume 3 will begin.
So. You know, John, watching television 23 hours a day finally paid off for you, man. You got all the answers.
Yeah, it's going to come affect Lost too. Lost did play into. Hold on, Todd's deciding to make smoothies while I'm doing the recording here. Someone else talk for a while.
Todd's giving smoothies?
Well, so Tehran, apparently. So, wow.
Wow, I'll talk geek/fiction.
Ron, why don't you go mute for a minute there, buddy? While we're waiting for Ron to come back, I'll talk on a television...
Somebody can get a word in edgewise.
A television item not affected by the writer's strike, because it's in England. Doctor Who is getting set to come back this Christmas with the Christmas special, Voyage of the Damned, and then begin again the full new fourth season in the spring. But in the meantime, by the time you hear this, it will have already aired, because it airs tomorrow, is the Children in Need Telethon. It's kind of like a comic relief over here in the States, you know, where they raise money for kids. Well, Children in Need is a similar type of telethon, and they do bits, and there's going to be a Doctor Who mini-episode in there called Time Crash, and it features the 10th Doctor, who's the current Doctor, David Tennant, and he'll be meeting the 5th Doctor, Peter Davison, who is fully decked out in the costume and designed
with
to...
With a bit of, bit of Lycra in there, unfortunately.
Hey, come on. You know, it has been, what, 30
oh,
years
I know. No,
since
I,
the guy
I'm,
put on the
I
costume?
Agree. No, I agree, and he looks good. I'm just saying.
You know,
they mentioned it. Oh, no, he looks great, but they mentioned that they had to, you know...
Yes, they
you
did.
You know, stretch out the sweater a little, but...
Just a little bit. You know, we all get older. Anyway, so I don't know how... I haven't seen anywhere publicized how long this mini-episode is. It may be 5 minutes, it may be 20 minutes, I don't know. But for those of us in the Who world, we're pretty excited. So, Scott, you can watch it?
Oh, yeah. Okay. They actually we have it on the Ning Need Coffee site. They did another version of the woman who's going as the new companion, Catherine Donna? Tate. Yep. Yeah. She actually is very popular over in England. She has her own skit show. And one of the things they did was they had her as this like really annoying Cockney student who like uses – she's actually very intelligent but uses it to annoy all her teachers. And the new teacher who comes in is actually – is played by David Tennant. So – and one of the things she does is like, are you the doctor? And he's like, what? It's like, are you – you have to watch it. It's funny as hell.
It's hilarious. It's it was from it's from the Children in Need last year. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It you guys, you can find it out there. It does have a Doctor Who flavor in it, as she's the companion and he's the doctor, but playing different roles, and it's funny as hell. So definitely she's hilarious.
Oh yeah. How can you teach English if you're Scottish? God, that I lost that. I lost it with that.
Good stuff.
And
so
of course, John.
He's sick, so who cares? But I understand Ron's back, and I understand Todd's done smoothing him out. Ron, you want to finish?
Before I make a joke about protein shakes.
Oh, Lord. Because now that Ron's spent, you want to finish what you're talking about there, pal?
Sure.
We can't hear you over the cigarette in your mouth.
Yeah. That's not a cigarette!
Oh, dear God.
Virginia Slims.
Oh, the line has been officially crossed.
It is Todd, after all. It's a stuff.
I was talking about Lost, and one of the big things that they're pushing it for is that they were going to run 16 episodes straight through, but now that's kind of been put on hold, and they said they would probably have to do kind of like what they did before, where they do 8 episodes and then have a break while waiting for the strike and everything to, and so hopefully it won't screw up things too much beyond that, but because they were scheduled to have, I guess, 2 more seasons, so hopefully that'll all work out. That's all I was going to say. In other TV news,
the last TV topic is yours also, Ron.
Yes. I'm not sure how much the writer strike is going to affect this at all, but Joss Whedon has slated a new show coming up some point in the future, back on Fox, surprisingly enough, with Eliza Dushku, who played Faith in the Buffy series. Unfortunately, it's not a Faith series, but it will have her in it, and it's a show called, was it Dollhouse? And
I'd like to put money on that being a working title. I don't see that rolling out with that name.
I'm not sure what kind of connotations it might have. I don't know.
A bunch of hot chicks in a show called Dollhouse. I don't think it's gonna make it out the door. So
it's not the Dollhouse where Simon had his famous "I love you, she's in love with me" tirade.
I remember that was my bachelor party. I remember quite well. Continue.
Anyway, it says the premise is it's a top secret world of people programmed with different personalities, abilities, and memories. And I guess they have gone missions. And then after the missions, they get their minds wiped out. And I guess the character starts to realize that they're being mind wiped or something. So
what I remember is like they're essentially blank slates. If you need somebody to be an assassin, you download how to be a sniper and all that. If you need somebody to infiltrate something, you download all that. But in their like default state, they're like little kids in adult bodies, but they're still kids. Okay. So what the premise is, Elijah's beginning to remember bits from previous stuff. What the hell's going on?
Is she remembering stuff from previous missions or stuff from before she became a Doll's House resident?
I don't know. He wasn't really specific on where they came from, if they were like people who they picked up and made like this, or were they like grown or whatever. But I think definitely previous missions. I don't know about previous life before call this. But it sounds like a very interesting premise. And I'll bet you that, like, Joss is, like, maybe typing out a few scripts while he's on the, you know, on the picket line. And probably when everything's resolved and he goes to Fox, it's like, well, look here. I've got six scripts already. Who? Amazing. So it could get into production pretty quickly if he wanted it.
I was
now
listening
getting onto Fox, though. I don't know about that. Fox, Fox is evil.
I was listening to NPR yesterday, and they had an interesting bit about the writer's strike that writers are actually using it to network with each other because you have you're meeting with people you don't normally get to spend any kind of time with. So they were talking about how a newer writer just kind of breaking in could maybe get to know some of the people who have more contacts and experience than them and use that to their advantage when the strike ends.
Power to the worker.
Yes. Word.
All right, so
this doesn't work coming out of your mouth, Mike.
Do we want to go ahead and move on to news from movies? I think we've beaten down the TV topic. I'm sure it'll come back up again in a minute. Shag, what do you got there for movies?
Well, we a lot of superhero news. Green Lantern and Flash have both been greenlit to get going after the Justice League movie fails miserably. And
I don't know if it's going to fail.
Right. Okay. Coincidentally, the Wonder Woman movie, who had Joel Silver leading it, has been canned. So, once again, Wonder Woman just can't seem to find legs and get rolling. But, yeah, I know.
And the rumor on that is because some exec at Warner Brothers said that a female lead could not support a film. So,
I heard that the movie was just too top heavy.
But I'm bummed.
See, this is what happens when you mate with NyQuil.
When I mate with NyQuil, is that what you said?
Mainline and NyQuil.
God, try to be a little bit hip, John. Come on.
Okay, I'm going back to sleep.
He's so hip, he has trouble seeing over his own pelvis.
Let's see. Star Trek news, they have cast, and this isn't actually incredibly recent news, but they have cast Kirk. We've got Chris Pine is doing James T. Kirk. He's had a bunch of little bit parts here and there, nothing that really anyone would know him from majorly. And he's, I don't know, he's got a good look for it. I think he could probably be a decent Kirk. Has anyone seen the Spock picture with Zachary?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
What'd you think?
And actually, there is some rumors on what the plot of the movie is going to be and potential problems with the plot. Big spoiler. It's still a rumor, but okay. There's talk. The reason they say Leonard Nimoy is going to be in the movie is, for some reason, I think it's the Romulans who are going to do this. The Romulans find out about the Guardian of Forever. And they're going to use it to try to eliminate the greatest threat they've seen and that's James T. Kirk. Old Spock uses it to travel back to try to tell young Spock about, you know, what's going on and try to stop it. Yeah.
Hmm.
Now, this is the thing.
Backstory for people who don't remember, who is this Guardian? That was the episode, the City on the
City
Edge
on
of Forever.
The edge of forever. Oh, sorry, yeah. Okay, City on the Edge of Forever, it's a time portal, and using it usually ends up bad because time travel is usually a bad idea. Now, this is the problem. Harlan Ellison, who wrote the script. He's not happy about this because he's still
suing somebody again.
Hey, it's rumors. I don't know if he's gone that far, but if it's true and they're doing this, Harlan is not going to be happy.
Well, I think they should do it just because of that.
So he was okay when, like, they used it in the 70s cartoon, but now he's pissed off?
Well, he's been pissed off about that for decades.
Oh, yeah. Not the 70s cartoon.
No, City on the Edge of Forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, they like did some major rewrite and he was pissed off about it. I don't know. Like I said.
Don't fucking write for network television, dumbass.
Yeah. I could probably fill up about 30 or 40 minutes of bile towards Harlan Ellison, so I will choose not to do that. But if that's the case, you know, screw him and everyone that looks like him.
I know. I do have a... Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, like I said, prefacing all this by saying it's still rumor, it may not be what's going on, but...
Yeah, but it's plausible.
Yeah. And like I said, it may not be because Harlan Ellison. I mean, I don't know. He's like a pit bull. You know, he grabs onto your leg. I did not say that.
I'm sorry. I'll stop. I didn't. Apologize.
No, I mean, if you hate him, that's fine. I'm just saying. I don't hate him.
I just think he's a jackass. I enjoy some of his.
That's why I don't want him coming after me.
See, Scott and I are biased because Harlan Ellison wrote the introductions to all the old Doctor Who books that were printed in the States in the 80s. So, I mean, you know, we got a soft spot for him.
Well, there's also – I actually have a friend who kind of knows Harlan Ellison, and she could tell him where I live.
But there's so, that.
No. Yeah, exactly. So, no.
All he'll do is just call you in the middle of the night.
Okay. Sorry.
Ron, you have some X-File news?
Moving on.
For the love of,
they're making a new X-Files movie, apparently.
Woo! Oh yeah, I've heard about this. It's supposedly it's going to be a monster one.
That's what she said.
But I'm bummed.
Let me rephrase.
Yeah,
it's going to be a monster-centric movie instead of heavy on the mythology.
Yeah, it was funnier the first time.
So. That's the only way that would actually work. I mean, that a second movie. Because, I mean, really, the show kind of – Ed's not here, but the show kind of jumped the shark with the last movie. It pretty much laid everything out for us. So what would be the point of doing anything else at this point?
Well, and also, I mean, a lot of fans, the mythology ones weren't all that interesting, especially after you said Jump the Shark. The monster ones are probably going to be what would draw people, especially new people who aren't familiar with it, especially since it's been like, oh God, it's been like a decade or near enough. So, yeah, it's going to have to be a monster one.
The movie came out in 98, and the series lasted till I think 01 or 02, maybe 03 even.
Yeah, 02.
So. Yeah, wow. I hear Duchovny had his reunion lunch with Chris Carter and Gillian Anderson. Is that right?
I think so.
Ron, the guy who sent the email saying we should talk about X-Files and that particular topic?
That was just a quick mention. Not everything has to be discussed ad infinitum.
Wait, what?
That was just a drive-by, you know, quick story.
Right.
Oh, it's... So there's this great picture of Gillian Anderson, David Duchovny, and Chris Carter in a rather interesting pose, you know, kind of looking like, you know, they're enjoying the afterglow.
next movie topic.
All right, Thundercats.
Please.
They've hired video game art director Jerry O'Flattery to helm the upcoming computer-animated Thundercats movie. So, Thundercats, thank goodness it's not going to be live action. We're going to get a computer-animated Thundercats film. You know, I don't know of any dates or anything attached to it, but I'm excited.
Do you think it's going to have Snarf?
I'm willing to bet that's a safe bet.
Well, Snarf did have a comeback in the last couple episodes of South Park.
I heard about that.
Integral role there.
Speaking of Snarf, Sterling has joined us. Sterling from New Bards Press. Sterling, how you doing?
Hello. I am doing well. Thank you for asking.
He's still on daylight savings time.
Snarf.
I apologize. I was at a writing conference meeting, so
Is that what you're calling it? Right.
He was on strike.
No, if I was on strike, I wouldn't be here. So you guys having fun talking about
some
good
stuff? Reality. This isn't scripted.
This isn't scripted?
No. This is reality?
Then how come you mailed me a script?
This is completely random and off the cuff at line?
At best.
We did the same amount of show prep as normal, Sterling.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know. That's good to hear.
Yep.
Yeah. I noticed you weren't on Ustream, so I was going to vicariously watch you through Ustream, but since you weren't on, I decided I needed to actually come on board and mess up everything that you were talking about before I got here.
Oh, we were talking about the Thundercats movie. Thank God you showed up in time.
All right, so we're gonna start now. Hey, this is John.
You really haven't started? it is 9:40, right?
Nah, you've been punked. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We also have let's see. Thundercats got a Helmer. Wolverine got a release date.
Yeah, May 1st, 2009.
Are anybody looking forward to the Wolverine film or no?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm reserving judgment.
Yeah. It's Wolverine. It's Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman.
I'm reserving judgment. I want to know more before I make a decision.
It's Wolverine. What else is there to know? Long knives come out of his wrists and out of the back of his hands. He kills people. And there you go.
That's never underestimate the ability of Hollywood to fuck up any property. So I am holding judgment.
That is true. Look at Superman Returns.
There you go.
Oh.
Yeah.
And that's from the apologist, Michael Bailey.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that title is actually accurate anymore, considering the venom I've had towards most of the stuff involving Superman over the past year or so. I may have to retire that.
Yeah, because, you know, Michael, I see you as like a true fan. And a true fan is like a true friend, you know, one that will go up to you and slap you in the face and say, snap out of it!
Yeah.
If you're doing something stupid, they will
hit you.
Well, yeah, but it's appropriate. You know, sometimes you need somebody to slap you in the face and tell you to snap out of it.
Yeah, but unfortunately...
News thing that I've read is that the second Aliens vs. Predator movie, which is titled Aliens vs. Predator Requiem, I guess they're avoiding the number thing, I don't know, which is going to be released at Christmas of this year, is going to be rated
R. Outstanding!
The first movie, which was PG-13. Yeah, so it's supposed to be a lot grittier and getting a little more violent.
Scarier, I hope.
I stand by my original statement when I first saw the trailer. It really does appear that they've done away with the things that were holding back the first movie, like plot. It does look like it's just a bunch of freaking people getting killed and decapitated, which is what it needs to be.
See, I actually reviewed the first Alien vs. Predator. That's why I'm like, I'm
sorry.
I know. My bane. No, I watched that and it's like, you know, people really need to be careful when they make wishes. You know, all the fanboys wanted an Alien vs. Predator movie, and they wanted an Alien vs. Predator movie. They forgot to say they wanted a good one.
Well, I mean, that's not always a hard and fast rule. I mean, look at Freddy vs. Jason. I thought that was a satisfying film for both franchises.
Yes.
Oh, no, I'm not saying, I'm just saying for this one, it was like they wanted a movie and they got a movie. They didn't get a good movie. So that's why I'm kind of, I saw the trailer, and it's really cool, but then I remember the first movie, and it's like, ugh.
But I think Shag
I don't
had,
follow the same track.
But I think Shag brought up a good point, is it has people being in a situation, and they basically get picked off, and the whole plot and story and backstory and all that stuff is going to be thrown out the window. You're going to have a small plot. The plot is you must survive. That's the plot.
That's all he is, babe.
AVP, you had this backstory. They were here on the planet. You had the man. you know, the archaeologist, then you had the woman, and they had all these, the guy with his kids, and he's taking pictures and whatever. All these people, they're just cannon fodder for alien babies.
I know. It's just, I've been burned before. That's why I'm like, you know, it's, I'm very hesitant.
Just to,
are they gonna bring the alien predator hybrid in this movie? Has there been any word on that?
Yes. They even have pictures, of it online. What? It's got the mandible things and stuff. Yeah, so it's like a super alien, because all the aliens we've seen before.
Does it have like the big joint hanging out of its mandibles and like the Rasta thing on its head?
Yeah, it's got dreadlocks. Yeah.
Oh my god, yeah. They put the hybrid in there? Oh, that's
of course they put the hybrid. No, that and was it's awesome.
It's going to be doing reggae. It's going to be singing awesome. Some reggae tunes for us.
It just shows you that the aliens will adapt to whatever their host is. So now they need to do the Alvin and the Chipmunks versus the aliens. And you get like chipmunk aliens. I think that would be real. I think that's the next viral video on the
Shag put up a couple things in other comic book movie news. The Rock, I don't know how long ago, but a while back on his blog, put up a vote for the fans to choose who he would play in the Shazam film, either Captain Marvel or Black Adam. And apparently the winner was Black Adam, which I think is pretty much dead on.
One thing I was kind of confused on, Mike, has he actually been attached to a Shazam Captain Marvel movie? And
yes,
okay, so he got attached and then he's just asking the viewers to choose which role for him to play.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think he
is dead on for Black Adam. I mean, he's perfect.
I mean, and if they kind of play it, maybe not in the first film, but if the film does well and they do it in the second film where he is what he kind of is now, not so much the main villain, but more of a person who has a different view of what a hero should be, I think that could spin it off, or at least have him in the second film in a more neutral role.
Yeah, and you could do. You could put a giant scorpion in it too. That never mind.
No, I really want to see him. I think he would be excellent for that. I did not see him at all for Captain Marvel.
Not at all. I think it was just a gimmick. Everyone knew he was Black Adam material.
And I like The Rock. I even sat through Walking Tall. Sat through as in I spent 86 minutes watching a movie, but. I really enjoyed The Rundown. I liked Walking Tall. I didn't see the one where he was the football player with the daughter.
If you have not seen his Saturday Night Live skits from a few years ago.
The one where he was Superman was freaking awesome.
I don't know if I remember that, but that's a few episodes back. We had a whole running joke of monkey turds and dandruff shampoo. That actually came from the Rock episode of Saturday Night Live.
No, the Superman skit was everybody knew he was Clark Kent was Superman, and they were trying to get him to admit it. And the best line was that kryptonite isn't the only thing that can drive Superman to his knees in a men's bathroom.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's funny because he actually did the whole gay thing. They had this like stupid running skit about this girl who couldn't tell if somebody was gay or not, even though they were completely flaming, and he was makes you wonder.
Well, he played a gay guy in that sequel to Get Shorty.
Oh yeah, it's just, you know, I've actually seen
it's called acting, right? Actors and
I understand that.
So he's a wrestler first and an actor second, though. If you can pull off
Sterling, I don't see how anything we talked about took away that he is an actor. I mean, it's just maybe surprising to see a guy who is so associated with, you know,
manliness,
with you know, being, you know, referring to himself in the third person and cocking his eyebrow, being able to break down
grappling men with no shirts on and just under. Oh wait a minute.
Be that as it may,
it's interesting to see a guy like that, you know, put himself out there as to be made fun of and to do things that he
can. You smell the pole the Rock is sucking?
really gross, man.
Wow.
So on that note, Matt Frewer.
Sort of makes you wonder about pile driving, doesn't it?
Matt Frewer, best well known as Max Headroom, has been cast as Moloch the Mystic in the Watchmen movie.
Comic book fan.
So if those of you who read The Watchmen previously or read it for our Book of the Month a while back, he had kind of a it's a small supporting role, really, in the story, but it has an interesting opportunity. And, hey, you know, I love me some Max Headroom, so totally kick ass.
And unfortunately, he was also the bad guy in the Generation X telefilm, so.
Yeah. He was good on Star Trek Next Generation, and he's good in Eureka. So,
And he was funny as the voice of the leader on the Hulk animated series from the 90s.
He was on one episode of Star Trek Next Generation.
It made an impression. It made an impression.
Apparently it was so good that Shag remembers it. So,
fuck yeah.
It was a time travel episode.
He told Captain Picard to move. It's like, what?
That's true.
Move. Anyway. So, on other news. Movie. Oh, well, the movie segment is closed, Ron. Thanks for joining.
Go ahead, Ron.
Movie.
I haven't closed the segment yet. Go ahead.
Moderator override.
Cat fight.
Could you say that with less of a German accent, please?
Would you prefer French?
So yeah, you got to follow up. You got to follow up all this with an actual story, Ron.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So the G.I. Joe movie has been green lighted. It is going to feature Cobra as the villains in the story. So it is going to be the 80s version, not the 60s version. However, G.I. Joe will not be the greatest American hero or great American hero. It is going to be a international task force. It's like the global initiative of joint.
Didn't they nix that?
Yeah, Hasbro came out with a huge press release.
But the thing is, the press release still didn't say what kind of military organization it's going to be. All they just kept going on and on about Americans and all this stuff, but they still didn't say whether it's, you know, a lot there. I didn't.
No, I thought in the press release, the final paragraph, it said, "We are not changing the franchise. G.I. Joe is an American. He's still going to represent what he's always represented to the fans."
I thought they said Duke is going to do that.
Wow.
Talking about in the movie. Because yes, you should contact your congressmen and senators and demand that in the G.I. Joe movie, he'd be great American hero.
That he eats freedom fries.
Blockbuster taking care of that mess.
Who cares about overseas movie sales?
To be more specific, because Ron's not so good at that, there's never been any question about whether they'd be American. The question is whether they'd be technically a United States military organization. Like, they're supposed to be Marines. You know, will they be Marines? And that's the real question. And then they're saying, no, it's going to be international force, even though if everyone's American.
Yeah, but isn't the title of the group G.I. Joe? Joe being meaning no, but Joe meaning American. That was whole.
But then they tried to pull out the fact that there was a few a few international members like in a later series like Big Ben and a couple other characters like that. So
I don't remember that. What were you watching?
It wasn't on the show. It was in the action figures in the comics.
Okay, look, here's the article.
They're kind of vague.
It says they will not be based in Brussels. Instead, they'll be based in The Pit, which was their headquarters throughout the 80s. Then it says the movie will feature characters and locations from around the world. Duke, the lead character and head of the G.I. Joe team, will embody the values of bravery and heroism that the first generation of G.I. Joe figures established. G.I. Joe is very important property to Hasbro, and we thank you all for blah, 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 blah. I still don't see in here where it says this will be a United States military fighting force.
Yeah, they did skirt it. It's like, it's not going to be in Brussels, but it's going to be in The Pit, which could be anywhere.
In Brussels.
And so G.I. Joe now stands for Global Integrated Joint Operating Entity.
That's
International Co-ed Task Force.
That's not confirmed yet.
That's not confirmed, nor is it denied.
Yeah, exactly. Confirmed nor denied.
All right, well, speaking of G.I. Joe, G.I. Joe has and still does have comics. And, hey, let's move on to comics news. Michael Bailey?
Well, World War Hulk ended yesterday.
Who won?
The what? Well, here's the thing. Is anybody here actually going to read it, and do they care if I spoil it?
Just throw the spoiler warning, period.
Okay, go ahead.
Spoiler
warning. By the time anyone, the only people you need to be concerned about are the people on this cast, because by the time anybody hears this, it'll be 2009.
If anybody cared whether or not.
They will have made the movie.
It was. It came down to the Sentry versus the Hulk, and basically, it kind of ended like Civil War did.
Oh, God.
The Hulk did it somewhat. Well, actually, the joke I had when I was in the comic shop about to buy the issue was someone's like, how did it end? I go, well, Captain America just gave up again. They brought Captain America back from the dead to give up for the Hulk, and then he died again. But, and it went much funnier then. So
who surrendered, Hulk or Sentry?
The Sentry basically lost it and got high on his own power, and the Hulk had to talk him down. And it was revealed that the warp core explosion wasn't the fault of Reed Richards or Tony Stark or any of them. It was Meek, the little hiveling character. That he was warbound to, put the shattered core on the ship, because to him, the Hulk's only function is to destroy, and that he needed a reason to destroy. So at the end, Bruce Banner, the Hulk transforms back to Bruce Banner, and he's locked up several miles below the Mojave Desert. But the
until another clock device is needed.
Yeah. And exactly. But the interesting thing, and interesting really being in quotes there, were the three preview images that came at the end of the book. Yep. One was that Ed McGuinness drawing of the red and green, the half green, half red Hulk Jeff Loeb and Ed McGuinness are going to be doing.
That'll be a new series starting in January, simply called Hulk, and it will, at least in the beginning, feature, a completely red Hulk.
And then it's
glowing eyes.
It has doing that, playing on the Incredible Hulk annual cover of him like holding up a huge mound of rock. They have the Incredible Herc, which is going to be a Hercules title.
Yep.
Oh.
And the son of the Scar, son of the Hulk, because on the last page of the World War Hulk number 5, in the ruins of the planet Sakaar, the Hulk's son comes out of the radiation goo.
Yeah, when he was on the war world, he apparently had a child.
So the Hulk hooked up? The Hulk hooked up off planet?
Yeah, yes. That's one of the reasons why he was so mad, because his wife and his unborn child were killed.
Died when he had sex with her.
No.
Was he like in Bruce Banner form when he, was she like a hideous beast creature?
He just followed her out like a Thanksgiving turkey. I mean, that's the only thing I can really.
You just lather her up in the Hulkness. What the hell? Whoa. It doesn't make any sense. Whatever.
There was a woman warrior, and they were together, and they were had a sexual relations. That was nothing more.
Was he the Hulk at the time?
Yes, he was the Hulk at the time.
I thought when he's the Hulk, he's just rage and anger. So this was really like,
have you read the book?
Yeah, the Hulk changes like every 8 to 10 months, dude. There's always some different version.
So he was
going
the
on.
Nice, cuddly, loving, romantic Hulk, and she fell in love with his wooing and birthed his child. For
are you trying to write like a fan fiction on this podcast?
I'm trying to understand how the Hulk can have a kid.
Did you read any of the Peter David run at all?
He doesn't read comics, dude.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
this Hulk is half. He's a mixture, sort of a hybrid between Bruce Banner's intelligence and the Hulk. So he's kind of like just a badass guy.
The important part is the hybrid part, right?
Yeah. So anyway, getting back there, y'all shut the fuck up. I wanted to comment on the incredible. I don't care on the Incredible Hulk. That's probably the piece I find the most interesting is that they're rebranding the Incredible Hulk comic, and it's now going to be the Incredible Hercules, and just running. And they say this is not a temporary change. They say this is going to be an ongoing thing, and I find that really odd. And I mean, is Hercules a natural fit for Hulk readers, Mike?
I don't think so. I'm kind of annoyed by the entire. The Son of the Hulk thing is just leaving me completely cold. But the Hercules thing, it's like they brought Hercules in for World War Hulk, and that was it. I mean, there's no interest there. I mean, if this was just an excuse to get rid of the Hulk for a while until they need to bring him out for the Secret Invasion Wars or whatever the hell they're calling it.
I think it's their effort to give him a relaunch with a number one awfully close with the movie. I think is what the real plan was.
We are currently experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by.
There we go. Hello?
Hello.
Hey. Is everyone...
Hello.
What was that?
Hello. I don't know. The Skype blew out.
Oh, okay.
Oh no.
But
I just
think the whole thing is a terrible idea.
The Hulk Sun thing isn't a. I thought it was going to be a spinoff of the. There was a What If issue of what if the Hulk had died and the Hulk's wife. Oh, am I on?
Yes, yeah, you're keep on. Going.
Oh, okay. I kept hearing people go off. I thought that it was going to be a spinoff of that because in the What If thing, the Hulk died, but his wife didn't, and she gave birth, and then the kid grew up, and so it was going to be a thing like that, but it's not.
Yeah,
it's going to be in the main universe.
It's something like that. It's just they're being very vague because they're Marvel comics, and they. Can do that, but I just think that while it might have been an interesting concept, the whole World War Hulk thing kind of in the end failed because it really didn't accomplish anything, and it wasn't as entertaining as it should have been.
Okay, is everybody back?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
it's because you can't.
Well, we were talking.
Oh, you already started again?
Yeah. We were just finishing up the World War Hulk stuff, though.
I don't remember what's the last thing we had said just a second ago.
The Incredible
talking about Hulk. Setting it up for the movie.
Oh, okay. All right. So I really think what they're doing is trying to launch a number one to set it up in time for a movie release. And Scott, I think you had a question.
Well, I was wondering about this kid. I mean, they said that you said that when he was killed, he was like still like a fetus. So when he came out of this goo, was he like already grown up, or is he like five or?
He's like a teenager.
Yeah, apparently the mother had the ability to sort of merge with the planet already, so there was kind of a funky ability there. So he's
turned a rock.
Yeah, so he's sort of, I guess, gestated in the planet. Yeah, I mean, it's just an opportunity to do a Hulk spinoff. He's going to be very much like the World War Hulk. And, and Michael Bailey will eventually break down and buy it around issue 7. He'll go back and buy all the back issues and tell us about it.
Hey, still haven't bought any issues of Countdown since, like, the 5th or 6th, so...
Nice. Wait, segue! Thank you very much. Starting with issue 26, they changed the title to Countdown to Final Crisis. We always knew that this what Countdown is counting down to, but with issue 26, the halfway point, they finally changed that, and they went from being sort of this... segmented, non-linear book about five or six different plot threads that were really not interconnected at all. Issue 26 tried to make an effort to tie them all together. The whole story was a narrative from the monitor and kind of talking about all the situations, somewhat to kind of like get you up to date and also to get, you know, try and show you why these plot threads are connected. And at the end of the day, it's still not all that interesting.
Yeah, I actually kind of broke down because they finally revealed they did another preview image drawn by Ethan Van Sciver of all the villains. And one of the images had a Superman in a black costume, similar to the one that he wore when he came back from being dead. And spoiler alert, it turns out that that is Superman Prime in the latest issue.
Superman.
Wait a minute.
That's what he's going to be like after the Sinestro Corps War.
He's going to have the long hair.
He's Superman who?
Superman Prime. Prime. You really should not make any effort to understand this, Sterling. It will blow.
Yeah.
I promise. I don't mean that in a mean way.
I just find the whole Final Crisis amusing because it's not going to be final. You know it's not going to be final. They're going to find other ways to do other weird stuff. And it's just, I mean, why do they? I don't know. It's just Final Crisis. Just you're way too ironic.
You're absolutely right. And it's just it is an effort to wrap up this major arc they've had going for several years now that started with Infinite Crisis, but there's going to be some other form of crossover.
Yeah, but I think the silliest thing to come out of this is all of the rumors that have been circulating, like they're going to kill off Batman and start that over with a new they're going to start that over with a new number one, and that Grant Morrison wanted to kill off all the heroes and have them become the fifth gods, become the new gods of the fifth world now that they're killing off all the fourth world characters. I just think, you know, I'm of the opinion, and I don't know if I've stated this before, I'm of the opinion that after Final Crisis, DC is just going to reboot everything and give us an ultimate version of DC Comics. That Final Crisis is that they're throwing so much at the wall right now and letting so much go, especially in the pages of Final Crisis, that after this, they're just going to start over with new versions of all the characters to kind of, like I said, to do an Ultimates version of the DC Universe.
Wow, that would really suck.
Because they already have an Ultimate version of a universe, and
All-Star doesn't count worth crap because it doesn't come out on time or regularly.
I meant they already have a version. I mean, Marvel's already doing it, so DC's just going to copy Marvel. That's what I mean. I mean,
speaking of Marvel, a couple news items there. Marvel Comics has announced their plan for their online presence. Basically, they're going to have 2,500 back issues available. At a subscription rate, you can get it for like $9.95 a month, or I think it's like $4.99 a month if you subscribe for a whole year.
Or in other ways, too, for free.
Ron.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. BitTorrent. So what's everyone think about that? I mean, paying to read old issues online.
I'm of the opinion... I know that this is where it's heading eventually, but in the end, I am just – I like having the comic in my hand. I like being able to have it in a collection. If you're reading it online with a monthly subscription, I mean, that's not owning the comic. That's just being allowed to read it. And I understand this is kind of how Marvel wants to – start getting money for the back issues, and I can appreciate that. But at the same time, one, reading comics on your computer is kind of annoying after a while. I went through this when I reviewed for Silver Bullet Comic Books. They sent us PDFs, and I just don't know if I could sit there, if I'd want to pay $5-$10 a month just to sit there and read comics on my computer when I can just go out and buy the trade or track down the essential or whatever and read it that way.
Well, I imagine go ahead.
Here's what worries me. People are going to find a way of getting around whatever digital rights management, whatever Marvel's going to try to use to make sure people don't try to cheat. And God help us, Marvel may start doing the whole what the movie industry and the movie music industry is. They're going to start bitching about pirates and all this shit. No, they're going to just start the whole thing over again.
You know what my opinion on the comic companies bitching about that, though? And it really comes down to this. What is the difference between me downloading a comic that somebody has put into a BitTorrent and me lending books to Shag to read and he doesn't pay for them? I mean, what is the difference between those two?
The first way they can conceivably get money out of you.
You think about it, the music industry is the same way. You could loan me a CD, and yet they get bent on a joint about
it. They can't track you lending a CD, a physical CD to somebody. They can track you downloading a track, supposedly downloading a track, and therefore they can find a way to charge you.
And but you think about it, BitTorrent is different. I mean, the fact is, if I have a CD and I loan it to some friends, I'm going to loan it to maybe 15, 20 friends at most. With a BitTorrent, you can loan it to thousands of people in a day.
Yeah, see, the problem that you guys are running into here with the actual physical exchange of material is that you're assuming any of you have friends to share this with.
I thought you were going to come up with something real.
Actually, all I have to say to the comic book industry, $3.99 a book? Really? Really?
I know.
Really?
Yeah, they already said fuck you to us a long time ago. So.
My two cents on this is with the Marvel thing, I probably won't subscribe. I'm not a big Marvel guy, but you know, if I found myself with some burning passion to read, I don't know, a couple years of old Captain America comics, let's say, for some reason, let's say I got a bug up my ass, or maybe the whole New Universe saga, which now that I think about that, I might do that. I might, you know, chunk out some money for a month subscription and read the shit out of them. If they have the right online reader, I'm actually okay with online comics. I read some comics on my computer not too long ago, and at first I really didn't like it. But by the time I finished the run I was reading, I really kind of enjoyed reading. I felt like it was a good format. I don't feel like I connect with the particular comics I read online. I feel like I'm just reading them for information to get the story. I'm not falling in love with them. I'm not like, oh, I love this panel and this art. I don't make that kind of connection I do with a physical comic. But just I know. I love the paper too much.
Yeah, but just for
the information, just to know the story, I could do that. I will say Marvel's Reader. I don't like Marvel's Reader. I went out. You can kind of preview it right now. You can read like 4 or 5 pages for free. And I read, 4 or 5 pages of Astonishing X-Men, #1. And I did not like the Reader that Marvel has out there. Well, so I don't know.
Well, here's a good question for this, though, is that, you know, I'm not going to give away anybody's age here because apparently that upsets some of us, Shag.
When you call it out in the beginning of a podcast.
But I think that maybe for us it might be something that we eventually have to get used to. But what about the people getting into comics now that this is the first way that they're reading comic books? And
there are new people coming into comic books.
I think there are.
Comic books is a...
I'm joking.
Huge industry right now.
I know. I'm just being crotchety because we're all so old.
Well, it's just... I don't know. I think, you know, Brian Michael Bendis on a Word Balloon interview said we are, like what Shag was saying, that we are getting a good reader program away from it becoming popular. It's just, I don't know. You can't collect it that way.
You know, here's the thing. I'm not. I have tons of, well, not tons, not nearly as much as you guys. Comic books lying around the house. I have no idea where to put them. This for me because I'm that person that Shag alluded to that he becomes with the website. When I'm reading the comics, I'm reading it only for the story. I'm not reading it for necessarily the art or anything, and I don't really pay attention to the art. Actually, you know, I just started catching up with Fables. And I don't really particularly like the art in Fables, but I think the story is amazing, and so, you know, I'm drawn in by that. I mean, I'll bring my, and this is going to be sacrilege to all of you, but I'll bring a comic book in with me to the bathroom, and
that's
you. read it there, and then use it for 12. No, I'm just kidding. And you know,
John, let's face facts. You and I are both parents. That's the only time we're allowed to be alone where we can read anything.
This is true. But Sterling has complained on ad nauseum about the pricing of comic books and everything else. This is geared towards someone like Sterling. Would you agree or disagree, Sterling?
I would consider it. No. I don't really care. I understand that the medium is changing, the industry is changing, and they need to do something to get a wider audience. It costs a lot to print a comic book. It's paper. But just like books, people like to have the physical book in their hand. And eventually it's going to change because the people who are growing up now are used to not having the physical book, and they're used to the vid screen, et cetera. But this is going to make me go out and get comics and read them all, because now I can suddenly see them all in one space.
Now, I gotta step in here and say, no one is talking about right now, just so everyone's clear, no one is talking about replacing current comics in this format. This format is solely for old issues. And the reason why they say this is
for
basically...
$3.99?
Hold on, let me finish. If they were to put current comics, new comics, out there electronically, it would cause the comic book market, physical market, to collapse completely. The specialty comic book stores, which is the direct market, which is the majority of comic book distribution, would shut down completely, which would cut off a tremendous amount of people from getting comic books, and the entire comic book industry would probably collapse.
I heard the number $3.99.
Yeah,
right?
Sterling, clarification: $3.99 is a physical comic book. They're talking
about. Actually, it's not. It's $2.99.
Well, it depends if it's a special issue or whatever.
Something else you really need to keep in mind is, I mean, we tend to be a bit myopic. Not everybody's on the internet.
Right. Yep. Well, the people that are listening to this are.
Hence the myopic comment.
Okay. Yeah. Sterling. The point is it's $9.99 a month for being able to read anything in their back history, or
and you could download them. I mean, say $9.99 part of the whole.
No. It stays on.
Read them online.
Or it's $4.99 if you subscribe for a year, a month. So. That's what they're charging, but it is all mostly all back issues. I think they said they were going to have some more recent issues, not first run, but
are comics really that good that you go back and reread them?
Yeah,
dude, think about it. If you could pay $9.99, Sterling, because you loved X-Men, you're that guy that liked X-Men 3. If you could pay $9.99. and read every single X-Men comic from 1963 through, let's say, 2003, to cut off some recent ones. That's 40 years of kick-ass comics. I wouldn't be
able to download them and print them out and read them.
No,
you read, well, here's you, the you, thing, though.
Oh, God, why would you?
Here's
you
the
read
thing.
Them online.
Disgusting.
Hold up. There is an alternative to that, and Marvel has been kind of a trendsetter in this, is releasing entire series on DVD and having like they did the first Spider-Man one was Amazing Fantasy number 15 to Amazing Spider-Man number 500. The Captain America one that came out recently was everything up to Captain America number 25. And those things are only $50 a piece.
And they didn't sell well.
Yes, they're still putting them out.
I was listening to an interview with one of the Marvel guys, and he says that they're not doing away with that platform, but they're not selling that well, so they don't see that as being their primary distribution for comics in the future.
I was just pointing it out as an alternative for Sterling if he wanted to keep it.
Sure, fair
enough.
Then
he could shell out only $50 and get that many issues of X-Men.
There you go.
That's my concern, is that I don't like spending money for something that can be wiped out by a magnet.
But
like to have either a CD so you can print it out and read it later. I don't want to have to go to my computer and go to their website and then flip the page
All right.
And I think connect to their server every single time I want to read a back issue.
I think we've answered John's question, is that no, this service is not for Sterling. But there are a lot of
people. It's a horrible service, and they should just stop doing this service completely and totally.
I'm kind of excited about it, seriously, because when I decide that I want to read
newbartspress.com.
Yeah, what was that about? Stories being held on someone else's servers?
I did not say that.
when I'm ready to read every issue that Walt Simonson did of Thor and Fantastic Four, man, this is where I'm going first, you know?
Yeah.
And I can appreciate that. I'm just still hung up on having the book in my collection.
And you know what? It's not going to stop me from buying new stuff, absolutely. But
and buy back issues, though?
It depends. If it's something I really want to have, yeah, I'd still do it. But okay. If it's something I see it as a library. Maybe no one else does this, but I still go to the library and check out books from time to time when I just want to read a book and I don't want to keep it. And that's how
I see
it. Sorry,
I couldn't hear you from the 60s. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Dang.
Stop it.
There's going to be times when there's comics I want to read that I don't give a shit about keeping.
So. Go to the library, fool.
Sorry. Huh. Anyway, so we've beat that horse. Speaking of comics and old and new Captain America coming out. He's shiny.
Oh, God. And he has a gun.
Yes.
What's wrong with him having a gun?
Well, the original Captain America didn't do the whole gun thing.
Oh, yeah. So all those pictures of Cap going into battle with a machine gun just don't count?
No.
Okay.
It's Sterling.
No, I'm dead serious. Sterling has a soldier in World War II.
And that's that's the last time he carried a gun, Mike.
Yeah, but what is stopping
because of the horrors he saw in World War II. What do you want to kill people? Is that what you're saying? Do you hate people?
I can think of about five
Why
people
do you
right
hate?
No, actually
you hate America, don't you?
Why? No. This was my thing when I saw it. Why is he just carrying a pistol?
Yeah.
Considering some of the shit that they battle, I would have like a big bazooka, not a pistol.
You only get one shot with a bazooka.
Let me make it perfectly clear.
You only need one shot with a bazooka.
Exactly.
Or
a submachine gun or something a bit more kick.
Mike, nothing is going to be perfectly clear.
Okay, let me try at least. I'm not saying I want the new Captain America to start mowing people down like the Punisher. I'm just saying that as a soldier, especially since this isn't Steve Rogers, what is the big deal about the gun?
Well,
if it's a new character.
Here's my take on it. I think they gave him a gun for the whole purpose of generating hype and people getting uppity. It's just like the Superman Eradicator when they made the new Superman who was supposed to be dark and edgy and everyone was supposed to go, but Superman's not supposed to be dark and edgy. So they're supposed to do the same thing with the new Captain America. He's not supposed to carry a gun so that when Steve Rogers comes back, we all take a collective sigh and go, And I think it's Winter Soldier, but anyway.
Well, that would at least make sense.
I thought it was already a foregone conclusion it was Winter Soldier.
Not going to be Winter Soldier.
They have not announced. What was that, Scott?
Which, like what Michael said, it's like it makes sense for it to be Winter Soldier, so therefore it's not going to be him.
Yeah, they haven't announced who it is yet, John. It's I mean, everyone's assuming it's probably Winter Soldier, but you know, who knows? Brubaker may throw us a curve. It's the Red Skull.
It's AmeriCop.
Ooh.
It's the Black Adam.
It's Captain Confederacy. Okay, I'm the only one that knows that. Sorry.
I want Chuck Norris, but that's just me.
It's Uncle Sam.
Chuck Norris.
He's coming over from the DC universe. Oh, never mind.
ChuckNorrisFacts.com.
Okay. All right, I think that's going to do it for the evening. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us. Michael Bailey from Views from the Long Box. Views from the Long Box. Latest episode features our very own Shag and Michael going at it yet again.
Ew.
No, that video, that was a completely different thing that got leaked. I'm really sorry about that.
Speaking of leaking,
Shag,
thank you for joining us.
Yay.
Of course, Scott from Need Coffee, needcoffee.com.
Damn straight.
And Daily Kick Explode and 16 other websites that are. There's also, check out their Ning site, ning.ningcoffee.ning.com, right?
Yes.
I friended you like 4 months ago on that, John. You haven't friended me back. I'm not feeling the love.
And that's just because he doesn't like you.
Speaking of feeling the love, Sterling from New Bards Press, newbardspress.com. How's things going over there? It's Nano Whammo week, isn't it, or month?
It's NaNoWriMo.
Whatever.
Month, that's correct. National Novel Writing Month. The goal is to write a 50,000-word novel in 1 month.
I have the first three paragraphs of my novel.
That's not very much.
No, it's not. Yeah,
but you still have... You still have 14 days left.
But I build my premise. I build my premise already. I've already got the whole thing laid out in my mind.
In three paragraphs? Have you actually written anything?
How much have you written, Sterling?
I have 8,717 words. I have not had as much opportunity as I did last year. I did 51,000 words in 17 days. So this weekend we're having a write-in, and I'm hoping to really put some time out too.
Yeah, I've only done 3,000.
The Thanksgiving holiday really is helpful because there's nothing going on.
Is there anybody going on strike from the Namo Whammo thingy?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Now that you mention it, it sounds like a really good idea and an excuse for me not to finish it. I'm on strike.
Oh, that's lame. I got a question. Why are these people even going? Why aren't their picket signs just blank?
That's very subtle.
You know, that's actually been a bone of contention because people say they're writers. Why aren't their signs more amusing or witty? You know, all they say is like, "We're on strike." Well,
because there's nothing.
Have you watched television?
Funny about being screwed. That's why.
Oh, Sterling, you're a member of a union, aren't you?
No, I am not a member of a union.
I thought you were a member of a particular union.
No, I don't. I don't make money from writing yet.
So, oh, I meant another union. But anyway, all right.
No. Sorry.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week. Again, hopefully, I'll get better and we'll get these churned out a little bit faster and more frequently on the thingamadoohickey with a thingy. So anyway,
folks, if you'd like to go out to the Unique Geek on Google Groups, you can go out to www.google.com and look for their groups and look for the Unique Geek.
You know, we pay a British chick at the end to do that, right?
Well, I was going to say, we could start a thread, a Get Well
Shag
John
is jealous. Thread.
Shut up.
Shag wants to be the British chick.
We could start a Shag Get Well a John chick. Thread if you'd like to send in your thoughts and wish John
from my sore throat. Oh, yeah, exactly. That's a good idea.
Please, good idea, Shag.
Please post those thoughts out there. So when this podcast goes live in about 4 years, maybe John will have a cold again by then.
Yay. Peace.
That's actually the good thing about mentioning that Shag and I get together, because it happens only once a month. So, you know, odds are it did happen just last week.
So. All that pent up.
I was going to say, your choice of words, Mike, get together, hook up, you know, just not good.
Especially with
once
me around.
Month.
Come on.
You know,
yeah, if someone's going to make a gay joke, it's going to be Scott.
Sorry.
Scott's jealous.
Bring on the British chick.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. Visit us at theuniquegeek.com. You can reach the geeks by calling 813-579-3542. Send your comments, complaints, and story ideas via email to thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Join our list by going to groups.google.com/group/theuniquegeek. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, share-alike license. Peace out.